This is an interview with Mr. Woody Horn Jr. on February 14, 1989. Mr. Horn, I'd like to know when and where you were born, and your parents also.
Well, I was born in Dunn, Texas, March 8, 1914. Parents were born, one of them was born in Sherman, Texas. My daddy was born in Elmo, Texas. Not with you, I forgot.
Okay. And can you recall when your grandparents were born and where they lived?
No, I don't. One of my grandmothers on my dad's side was in Elmo, Texas. The other grandmother was in Sherman, Texas.
Can you tell me how did you end up in Kingsville? Why did your family come to Kingsville?
Why?
Yes.
Mostly looking for a good paying job. And I finally came to Kingsville because they had railroad here with Negro rates. That's the reason why I came to become a brakeman.
Did you get a job? Did you get a job?
Yes. Went to work. Came here in January. I believe it was the 2nd, 3rd of January in 45. And I went to work a week after I was here as a student brakeman. In those days, they didn't call them students, they called them roots. Brakeman. I was roots. I roots 2 weeks, then I went to brakeman.
Could you tell me what type of role the railroad played in the development of the black community in Kingsville?
Well, that's mostly all the jobs that blacks had in Kingsville. Railroad shops and the shops on the road, transportation department in the shops. And practically all the Negroes worked there. This is the reason why the railroad made a big impact upon the black communities, because that's how we made our living at that particular time. It wasn't any other job unless it was a dishwashing job or a cook or something like that. That mostly was working in someone's private home.
how well were y'all paid working for the railroad?
Well, we was paid pretty well in that particular time, because the wages was about one of the highest they had around here. Even the school teachers didn't make the kind of money that we made on the railroad.
Mm-hmm. how did the depression affect any y'all worked right through the depression, right? It didn't affect the railroad workers?
I came here in 45, and the depression was over.
Okay.
The depression was back in the 30s.
Okay.
29 30.
Okay. How did working for the railroad affect your family? Did you have a family when you started working with the railroad?
Yes, I had a wife.
Did it affect y'all any? Which way did it affect you?
Yeah. Didn't affect us, no. A good way, because that's where we start to accumulate things. We had the money to buy.
Why was the colored training of America organized?
Why was it organized? The colored training of America was organized to protect the black race. And Bowman's civil childhood.
Yeah, I want to allow it. Were there a union for the white railroad workers?
Oh, yes.
And blacks weren't allowed in there?
Weren't allowed to join the white. So that's the reason why they formed a union of their own. Which at that time was the only black union in the United States, owned and operated by black.
Did any of you or your colleagues, any of you try to get into the white union?
Yes, they tried, but they turned down. I know some older than I was tried, and they turned it down.
Okay. What other types of, you want to explain that to me?
What
are the types of employment there were in Gainesville? In the community other than the railroad, it's domestic help.
Well, domestic work, as I suppose it is.
Yes.
If that's the only railroad, some may have some working on the gangs, and some working on sections. That was the people that maintained the track.
Can you recall what the schools were like when you first got here?
Well, they were segregated. You had, just before I came here, they had to go to, after you finished in, I think the 8th or 9th grade, I'm not quite sure, but you finished high school, you had to go to San Antonio, and I believe, later on, what's called the eventually got the high school here. Let's see.
Could you tell me, like, what geographically designed the black community when you first got here?
Geographical
design.
This side of, the railroad track?
Yes.
But the west side of the railroad track over here was for blacks. The east side was for white. The northeast side was for Mexican. That's what they called them. They called them black in America. But that's where they were.
What type of relationships existed with the whites in Kingsville?
Well, as far as I can recall, the people in Kingsville, we got along real well. We wasn't too bad. We got along real well. And I'm trying to think what year it was. came into integrate. Now that integrated in 1964, I believe. They had after Brown versus the University of Kansas, when that decision was handed down. And that's when we really started to move forward. We had women that time. That's the time that the first thing they integrated here was teachers. They brought in the teachers and integrated those people. Then in the next year or two, they integrated the whole school for the children. Never had any trouble, and that procedure, and integrating, we didn't have any fights and riots and all that stuff. That was heard of. It just was a smooth transition.
Okay. How about with the Hispanics?
Same thing.
What type of relationships existed with blacks who were associated with the Navy?
Well, I don't know too much about the Navy. I wasn't in the Navy, but we never had any trouble that I knew of on base until, I'm trying to think what year this was, when we had a black Navy person that they claimed he tried to start a race ride. We interceded on the Navy. We interceded in that case. He came out. And they couldn't really pin him down to that, because in the investigation and everything, we found out that he was didn't start it. Some white started out on the base that blew about that. He got a discharge. He discharged after he got cancer. And then when he discharged, he came right on out and got a job with the railroad.
What type of relationship existed with blacks in other communities in Gainesville?
They got along all right, but I used to go out to the base and put down there with a party man, and there was a beer joint fella.
Yeah.
Go around in those kind of places. I went, but most of the time for the sights, yeah, I'd go by myself. But I never seen them get unruly. Not the different races mixed up together. Or well, we didn't mix that much until we saw after the Navy. And over here, now they had a club over here, what they used to call a USO down here. And they would come out there, the Navy personnel. I never heard of anybody getting hurt or anything. Or fighting.
What type of events were held here in the black community in Kingsville?
Any events?
Events or activities and or activities.
Well, yes. Back there, they did, I know once a year they had a picnic. And that would be somewhere around the 19th. Then, just before I came here, they had another club that the railroad sponsored, which was a baseball team, and C.O. Barney, he's passed and gone, was one of the chief boosters of that tie. And the railroad was to give passes to carry the team wherever they wanted to go. It was very nice.
Were there any events or activities that a significant number of whites or Hispanics were involved in here in the black community?
Well, back then in those days?
Yes.
No, I don't think it was too many. Nothing but playing baseball. I think they played baseball against the blacks and against the Hispanics. Yeah.
Well, what institutions in the black community served as focal points?
Well, the main focal point when I came here was church. Because that's where most everything would happen at the church. Sometimes they would have picnics, you know, out on the park and things like that. But the most folks dressed was kind of Christ-like, even when we went to church, to different churches. Back there. But other than that, I don't recall who other things.
How were blacks portrayed in local newspapers?
Well, it wasn't too much of that in the newspaper yet. It came about the blacks until 1975 or 76. That's when that most any writer. Number one, the NAACP here, well, just before I came down here, they had a tough time while I was here. Well, I belonged to it, but I wasn't working actively, but I just always remember. Sometimes we have kind of trouble in getting them to print what we wanted to. They would edit a lot of it out. Print it like they seem to fit. But we've got all of that straightened out. Because they wasn't going to do it. I remember one time they didn't do it and we sent it to the Corpus paper and they did it. Well, they called me in and asked me, why did I send the news to the Corpus paper? And I just told them flat out. You have to too much out of it. You take all the meaning out of it. Now the hardest thing we had down here, since I've been here, is trying to get streets paved, drainage, and all of that. Now we had to fight and fuss with the city. And the federal government had to come down here to investigate with the own eyes to see what we were talking about. And they found the city guilty. And they sent the finding to the city. And they didn't want to, still didn't want to do it, but they had to do it because they were getting federal money. I don't know, they might have thought we didn't know that, but we was over there too. And right now, they have promised us things. running for office.
Yeah.
When you get in there, you jump about it. They still say they're going to do it, but when you go out of office, it's not done. They'll tell you that. Now, that's right now. The city commission that we have right now, they promised. They said they were going to do it. Used to be a dog pond right over there. We spoke about that movie about indirect fence, but around it. As best that the city owned that property. They had a dog pond there. We fought to get the dog pond. We got it. And we asked them for the property. When they start to dig the drainage, you know, putting the drainage down here, well, you haul all the dirt over there. You can look at the pictures over there now. And every one we have elected have came out here and stated they would clean it up. It haven't been cleaned up yet. You know, our trouble is, you change commissioners, you change mayors, and they say they're going to do this before they get in there. Their intentions might be good, I don't know, I can't say. But all I can say, they didn't do it. In heaven, they did it, yeah. Yes, we talked to the city quite a bit.
Well, what was y'all's intentions with the land that they granted y'all?
The money they granted, the federal government grant the city the money. You know, they used to get federal grants.
Yes.
They didn't have to pay that money back. You see, when when Revenue Sharing came out, it was originated set to have low and middle income people who, not where they live, you know, out in their district. But what happened? Revenue sharing, the city, they left it. They had flaws in it, the bylaws of it. So they used it to spend, they have to take care of the city equipment and all that, automobiles, stuff like that. Well, we complained when we filed our complaint. We filed it to revenue sharing and the federal grant HUD. Well, HUD sent people here, right in the street where you just gone out. And they found it. And it was so, I was so thankful that God sent rain that day. They could get it. Now, we had been asking for a drainage all along. But after they found out that they couldn't get out, I said, how do you expect for us to get out? But we have jobs to go to. But still, yet we have to get on the job or the man gets fired. And we need to wait. So that's when they went back to Washington. That's when they found the city of Kingwood guilty, discriminating against the black people. Then we got a little something done. We got the drainage problem done. We got some streets paved with grant money. This street down here on 3rd Street, this end, they closed that 3rd Street up without even notifying any citizens out in this area. We didn't know it. They passed the decision on it. Then when we did find out, we tried to get them to pave it in and our over in the asking before we had asked for 3rd Street to be paved. The federal government told them to pave 3rd Street. I don't know whether that's how all that Doctor stuff is over in the told about. I happened to be in Florida when they bid on when they voted on that third street. And they had to build up an open ditch there, all the red colors in the use of my eyes. And I'm right now. I wrote Hood again, the NAACP, our president at that time. We wrote Hood again. And somehow or another, about a week or two after I was out of the hospital, one of the city commissioners met me and told me, said, you know what? Said, I don't know where they got the money, but they're going to put their storm drainage in there. I said, well, I wrote Hood about it again. But they told them to do it, and they didn't do it. Now, what, at that time, they could get grants. No more grants now, but in that time, they was could get grants. And so I asked her to, if they didn't do it, to cease. They just don't let them have any more grant money. Even revenue sharing, don't let them have that. I said, because they refused to open the instructions. So somehow or another, I found out after they got that letter, they got over to the city. And the city put their drainage in. That's how hard we had to fight for the little Dirty Steel on this side of town. Yeah, it wasn't handy. And all the rest of the streets that was paved here before then, we had to pay the property owner. Had to pay for a part of the street in the curving. That's true. Well, now, that street right out there you see in front of my house, that 100 foot there, I paid for the curving. I paid out to the middle of the street. And the other property owner on the other side, they paid for the curving. And back to the middle of the street. But I never could find out what did the city pay. That we paid for the middle of the street, I said you couldn't have. That's not the way it's down here. But they still claim that what they did, they made us pay for the whole thing. If we wanted to put a nice street to walk on. Because when I first came here, all of this was just back dirt, man. You had to have boots to get out of here when it rained. Wear boots all day long, every time you step out your house. You had to have some boots on when it was the rainy season. So we did want some streets out of here. And a lot of folks, not only me, paid that money. Quite a few of them.
Did the railroad, y'all was able to pay it?
Yeah.
Did the railroad back y'all up any, or they
no, the railroad didn't have anything, they don't interfere with things like that. City. They call it politics, but they say business. They don't feel. Not unless they're interfering with something on their property. See, they have a lot of right of ways in here. But this is our idea. Now, the railroad, we was working for the railroad. And by us working, we was able to pay.
Nothing.
Yeah, we had jobs on the railroad. Well, practically everybody here down in here worked for the railroad. The parents, a lot of them passed along. They worked. So the railroad really helped the blacks a lot. Because in 1969, we were being hired as conductors. But we didn't get that until Uncle Sam stepped in. Pepper George. He's the one came down and helped me. He was the government man. He was the one that was make sure that the blacks had a chance after they awarded it to us. He to us and he came down here and helped me for us to see that they were going to treat us just as bad as the white man when he was promoted to a conductor. So we got quite a few black conductors here now. And you got quite a few black engineers now. They couldn't even have no black farmers. We could have no black farmers. Farmers was white. It's better. It's a little better. I've seen the time to see when I let you go to that cottage out there. My first came here. You went in and out?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you couldn't go in and out. That's right. You see how many black professors you have out there? Mm-hmm. And in the kitchen? You see how many you have?
Yes, sir. Just one, like the green.
That's all you have is one. And you can pick up one of those magazines and you're looking there and they'll tell you that they got all of these black professors. They got people out there, students teaching from the professors. You ain't hired. Yeah, we both did, you know. We've been fighting him quite a while. I remember way back.
Are you still president of NAACP?
Right now?
Yes.
But I'm, I am now. But I'm fixing to retire here this month. Yeah. I'm going to retire this month.
Well, other than yourself, you know, before I came here, none of the people who I've interviewed have considered you one of the heroes here in Kingsville. Could you tell me who else would probably be considered a hero here in Kingsville in the black community?
Well, I don't know why they consider me as a hero. I didn't do no more than no other person was doing. I was doing to help them and myself. But I thank them for it. Maybe because I was the only black that would stand up and fight. I guess the reason why they said it. You know, I fought the school system too. Because when Harris left here, I was in the school board meeting and I was told there won't be another black professor in this town. Not in this school system. But Thompson, you know, Coach Thompson? Mm-hmm. I'm the one that really fought for it. I'm the one that called for him with that job. But I don't call it no big thing. I just wanted a black. As long as it was a black, I didn't care. But since he was up butt, that's who I was harping on. Yes, I've been to the school board meetings by myself. Yes, I've been in other meetings up in the courthouse by myself when it was different. Yeah, I've been all of them. A lot of folks out here was afraid of me. I wasn't afraid. Those Spanish people wasn't brown berets. They wasn't fighting me. They was fighting City Hall, and I was fighting City Hall. So why would one of them want to hate me? Yes, I was here when city commissioners and them when they leave meeting had to have police that's supposed to get home. Yes, I was here. I was in that meeting up at the courthouse upstairs. I was the only black guy. I didn't say anything until the last. And I wouldn't have said it then if this Justice Department fella hadn't asked me. So I turned to the thing all the way around. And they turned red as beets up there. I had one fellow here, I told him, I said, you won't be mayor here no more. And I told one, I said, you won't be on the president board no more for the school system. said, no, you won't be there no more. I said, me and my God gonna move you. And that's what we did. We moved it. We moved it from there. Of course, I wasn't around here with him. But he couldn't speak to me, and now he's on the board of directors. But the cop, Cooney, he's on the board of directors. Now, why did he pick a fellow like that? No, he discriminates against people. Why would the board of directors pick someone like that? See? That's what they want. But they picked me. Yes, I had. I got the lady off the school board for me and her sister real tight. She was our state representative. He said, why did you do that? I said, because she's discriminating against me. I said, when you discriminate against one black, you discriminate against me too. I'm in that book. I think the reason why he started speaking to me and Mr. Mack, L.C. Mack, we were invited to a luncheon with the senator. And we went. And we were talking to the senator. Well, he came up, first to the better, butt in. And the senator told him, just wait a minute, I'm talking to Mr. Horn here now, wait a minute. I'll get around to you. See what I mean?
Yes.
Now, he didn't like that. I know he didn't like it. You know, I'm a fella like this. I don't talk a lot. Because when I talk, I mean what I say. I don't talk a lot. I listen. I notice, get the other day. Anyway, they introduced him. I was standing right there. They introduced him all around. I didn't say anything. Never did get around and introduced me. So I waited. See, I'm patient. I waited. Then as they all got inside and went to the other room, they were sitting up there. I went up and introduced myself. And he stood up and talked there 3 or 4 minutes. And I was, But I wanted to meet him because he's a black four-star general. And that's the first one I had a chance to shake his hand and say, well done. See what I mean? Because you don't have many black four-star generals. That's the first one I ever seen.
Yeah.
And I wanted to shake his hand, and I wanted to tell him how proud I was in the job that he was done. It was a well-done job to get up there to be a four-star general. And I'll wait. You have to wait on things sometimes. There's a time when you have to speak out. It's time, yeah. The mayor that was one mayor we had here, we had our arguments all the time, but we never fell out. We were still friends. We never fell out. Right in the meeting, they had the arms, a guard there, and we got the arms, and she wrapped me down. And I told her I wasn't going to sit down. Wait a minute, I said, look, you accused me of something, and now I'm going to straighten it. Now, when I get through straightening it, then I'll sit down. Now, you might as well put your gavel down, because I'm not sitting down. So, I got my side, see. I said, I didn't call her a lie. I did. But what she said was a lie. I had three old commissioners there, and I called every one of them by name. Don't you remember? He said, yes, Storm, you are right. Thank you, Mayor. Turned on, sir. But he said, I didn't call her a lie, but she found out that you were lying. Yeah. I didn't just out and call her a lie.
Yeah.
See what I mean? But I knew how to make her out a lie. Now, here's the other three commissioners that made her out a lie. See what I mean? That's all you have to do. Just listen. I had another incident. A guy put something in the paper about me. I taken it out of the paper and I went to the paper. Oh, I told him, I said, look here. I said, this is the biggest lie that anybody ever told on me that I can recall. I said, but what I'm going to do, I ought to sue the city. You just got to hire him. And I told him that when you want to know something about me, you come to my house or call me on the telephone. Don't you ever put what you heard about me in nobody's paper. You never did it anymore. I told him to the city manager. I said, I ought to sue you. I said, but the reason why I'm not going to sue you, because it's just involving me once. And I'll be suing myself. You'll be taking my tax money too, to help fight against me.
Yes.
So, very nice. He's my friend. See? But he never put nothing down about me, nothing less than he called and asked me. I heard so and so. They told me so and so. Is it true? Nope. If you want to know, you come out to my house and I tell you. I ain't going up there. You got something you want from me, you come see me. Well, we had some good times around this time, but I had a heart attack and back operation. Big. So I'm just getting down because I am not physically able to keep up with all of these committees and things at the hall. I can't meet all of these directors.
Sorry to hear that. Who do you think will be your successor?
I don't know yet. I think Reverend Simon, R.S. Simon, he's going to be it. They're going to miss Mike Hogan. We'll know Saturday. Because they have elected him, but I don't know how long he's going to be here. Yeah, we got that Douglas Center over there. I'm the one who went and asked for it. The NAACS, president of NAACP, I asked for it. And we got it. Well, that's the building right over there. You've been down there.
Yeah.
It should have been fixed up, but the black people just wouldn't work with us. You know, it's hard to get a bunch of black people to stick together. Now, if it's talking, if they think they're going to be seen, they want to be seen, they'll be there. But when it comes down to actually doing what's supposed to be done, you can't find them. Ian King, no, I'm just frank, you ask anybody. They'll tell you the same thing I'm telling you. More thought of this stuff as the president, I had Napoleon Williams. I worked by myself, me and Mr. Mack, for years. In every case, until we got Napoleon Williams, wherever he's a preacher now, preacher Williams. And I'd be up, if I wasn't, my wife would be mad. You're gone all the time, it's gone all the time, hitting stuff. I would be out of park. I'd be up kind of be up to the city, but I was always fighting for somebody else.
Yes.
Not for me. I thank God that he gave me the knowledge to fight for other people. I thank God that I was able to share. I want to share what I have. I want to share what I'm doing. But you know, sometimes, brother, you get out there on the limb by yourself, and they'll tell you, here's one thing about people. I ran for city commissioner here once. I didn't tell you that.
No.
But I ran for city commissioner here once. And I got 12,000 votes. That's what I got. That's all I got.
No,
I don't mean 12,000. 1,200. Sorry. I got 1,200 votes. And you know where most of the votes came from? Spain. You think the blacks voted for me? My votes came from the whites and a few Spanish and the rest and a few Negroes. But you know the Negroes voted for the other side? For the other person? Oh, yeah. It's up at the courthouse on record. I got less blacks. I just couldn't figure out. I don't know why. We had talked about it, and everything, and they were, what we going to do, they was going to vote for them and all of this kind of stuff. I started not to run when they asked me, but I went on. Nobody else would try, so I tried. Oh, I've been out a couple of years after that. I was asked to run, and quietly, one asked me 3 or 4 times, said, now I want to be your campaign manager. I want you to run, but I never would. But I know that the blacks treated me much as I had been trying to do for us. If they treated me like that, that time, Lord, I won't tell them what time. I might not have got in the next time. That's where I felt. So I never did run.
What year was this when you ran?
Huh?
What year was this when you ran for commissioner?
I'm trying to think of the year that Miss Hill. Dr. Mokhtar. It was back there, let's see. It must have been around. This is 80 years. Yes. It must have been somewhere around. 79 or 80. I had been 81, I don't know. I had my daughter got all the trips and things. I don't know exactly what means. Somebody around here might could tell you. I don't know.
I don't understand.
Oh, we had some very hard times in the city of Kingsville. In good times. You know what I found out? About Kingsville. I hate to say it. But as long as you don't ask the officials for nothing, you're a good man. Oh, he's proud of you. He just loves you to death. But as soon as you ask for something, that's when you ain't no good in the outside. You one of them niggas that ain't satisfied. Say satisfied. I've had some officials to tell me, Mr. Mack. I know if I could just get y'all out of town, y'all to move from King. Get out of King. And I told him, I said, I'm moving. All I want you to do is give me what I ask for my place. I'm moving in. Yeah, but we never had no trouble till y'all came. Especially you. We didn't have this kind of trouble until you got involved. That's what I told you. You got involved. You the hell raiser. Well, I say I don't call myself a hell raiser. I say I call myself asking for just a little slash of that tire you got over there. And you won't even grant me that. That's all. That's all I ask. Man, we had some rounds. Some good rounds. I've got quite a few guys here. I remember one. grand doors. He wanted to put a little shop up there at his home, man. He didn't want him to have it. I was saying, I raised their hell with them. We got that. We could have gotten more if we just had it stuck together. We had the folks, you understand me now, the folks were behind me, but they was a kind of full distance. When it came to meeting, talking face to face with folks. Some I think we got a lot of people here I think is afraid to talk out, to speak out for himself. Of all I was doing, I speak it for myself and other people, NAACP. That's another thing we had trouble with here when I came to the NAACP. Ms. Margaret Wilson was the chief counselor at that particular time of the National. And they had wanted us to take a survey of our city officials and whatnot. Not a question on that. I presented it to them. They said they wasn't going to do it. In turn, when they told me that, I said, I'm going to leave it here now. You can pick that out, but I'll be back. So when they said they wasn't going to do it, I went back 2 or 3 times. So I, in turn, called her. She, in turn, called us. City manager here. She called the city manager. The mayor wasn't asked if she wanted to talk. But they called me and told me to come up here and get this. I want you to send it back to that attorney. I said, well, I told you that at first, but I didn't know what they said. It wasn't for me. I said, because it had been for me, I already know how to get it. What I want, you'll give it to me. I know that. I said, I know the law. They gave it to me, but look what I had to do. Had to call the chief counsel. And then they gave it to me, filled it out. Everything worked out fine. Fine.
When you came here in 45, Mr. Horn, was the NAACP already formed here in Kingsville? Mm-hmm. And you became an immediate member?
I was a member before I even came here. See. Yeah, I was a member before I even came here.
And how long were you president?
Well, I've been president, I think now, 14, let's see, Mac. Mac was president for when I was here, then he left. I guess I've been president. When he was here, I was a legal redress officer. Well, I was an alder, of course, wasn't but working in there, wasn't but 3 of us working, so I was alder officer, you might as well say. The legal redress and the housing and everything else that came up, but I had to do it. But as president, I think I've been in there 12 years, I believe. Yeah, 13, something like that, 12 or 13 years. I don't know. I didn't try to keep up with it. I'd have to go back and check it. Yeah. The minutes out. I was too busy trying to get something done down here, but all of this practical down in here was done under my administration. Even the rehab, you know, they told us they didn't have no money for this side of town. But we got a bunch of houses. I had to call Hood over here. I got on my telephone and called her. And he came over here and come tell me you don't have no money. And I'm on the committee. You gonna tell me you don't spend all that money over on Mexican Town? Mm-mm. Ain't no stand for that. So I called them. So they found the money to fix 2 more. Reverend Coleman
same year.
The last one was Miss Hayes. Oh yeah, we got it. We got it. We got the ones. But they were spending all that money on the next time, fixing up them folks' houses. But our folks were kind of backwards. You have to teach them, you have to learn them. They thought if they were going to come out there and do a remodel job on their house, they thought they had to put the property up. But I refused. Yeah, I kept us. This is a grant that the federal government is giving Kingwood to fix up these houses in the low and modern income area. So that's what it's for. No, your house, you don't afford it. And they get through. We go out there, see what has to be done. Contract have to bid on it. And you do everything what you're supposed to be done. And you're not out of one penny. It's still your house. It's no lien on it or nothing. I said, because it's for low income. More than income people, you know, what we call middle income. So we got several houses. But the thing of it, if I had taken over the presidentship of it, when I first went in there, we'd have got a lot more than what we had already got. Because what they were doing, Mac didn't have nobody to help him. They wasn't asking. You don't think they're going to take money from over there and come over here and give it to you if you don't ask for it. No, you have to ask for it. And sometimes you have to demand it. And when you start demanding, you go to writing everybody. Everybody that you think is connected with this money. That's the only thing you have to do. Reason why we don't have no more black professors on the car. We didn't start on them in time. And I noticed in the paper the other day where Truant, now this is your son, he's not speaking for nothing but the Hispanics. Folks don't hear that. But if you keep up with it and read your paper, you'll find out. Yeah. He's speaking to them. He ain't in this merger. He haven't included you nowhere. What they're trying to do. Blacks haven't been mentioned in none of them speeches, none of them writing when they talk to the press. Why somebody have them up and chatter to him on this? You mean to tell me I'm paying my money in the state of Texas and all you is representing the Spanish people in this area? That need to be challenged. I'll tell you, what did I tell him? Reverend, I want somebody. We need it. I said, but me? No, not me. My days is over. We need to challenge him. Let him know that we got blacks here too. Yes. See? But nobody knew. I see if I went to get out of wasn't in the shape I'm in now, I would have challenged. He even got letters from me on this test from the NAACP. Right now. And nobody said a word so far. That I know of. Now they might have. But I haven't worried anything about it. Because I don't get out to all these meetings and things. Because I just threw a lady on the telephone about this water conservative thing. I told her, she just had to take me off. I couldn't. Not now. That came 2 or 3 years earlier. I might have been on them speaking my mind. Yeah. Because that's what I believe in doing. If you believe in something, speak it. Let them show you where you're wrong. You show me where I'm wrong, not me to put it. Because this is what I say. Now you gotta go. Well, now if you can show me where I'm wrong, I'm willing. I'll accept it. Yeah. But make sure you show me. That's the way I am. Man, we've had a... I don't know about Kingsville. I've been through some pretty rough times, but wasn't here. It wasn't down in Kingsville. That's where I got the King. And you got another question to ask, and I think I believe I covered it about over there.
Well, yeah, see, well, as far as the political area and everything, unless you're tired, I can just come back any other time, you know. I don't know where you're at, you know. I heard you speak of your health and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think we can just call it, you know, call it quits right here.